Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Friday morning to you. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. You know, a year ago when we were in the COVID pandemic and we had sports shut down, and really the only news that we were getting was when will it return and what would it look like if it returns at all. It is amazing that a year later, we've got a full plate of things going on in the sports world. And don't look now, but the NBA and the NHL are about ready to start their postseasons. Now, it is May 15th, or 14th, and it's the middle of the month of May, when normally we would be heavily entrenched in that playoff mode right now. We'd be getting close to maybe the conference finals in the NHL, might be still in sort of the second round, or maybe even into the conference finals in the NBA. But we're getting started with this because of the late starts of the season. And you know what? I got to be honest with you. I kind of like it this way. I kind of like the idea that we may be extending this into deeper into the summer. And I know the players probably wish it was back to normal because there was a pace, there was a thing that they were used to. But look, it's May and we're starting both playoff series for the NBA and the NHL, and it's not so bad. You know, when you combine that with the draft and the schedule released of the NFL and Major League Baseball rolling along, it is really great to see it all back together. The NHL Stanley Cup playoffs last year was played in this bubble atmosphere in Canada. And what was missing so much was the atmosphere of what those playoffs are. Those home ice advantage moments when you hear a loud crowd explode with goals and erupt with sort of the energy that those arenas can give you during the Stanley Cup, that even if you're not a hockey fan, you absolutely can respect and enjoy into the postseason. And I'm glad in some capacity it is going to be back this year, because even if you're not a big hockey fan, those games, those Stanley Cup playoff games, those games that go double overtime into the night where one goal could send a team home, It's some of the most exciting theater in all of sports. And we wrapped up a regular season and heading into the postseason next week. But the other thing that's heading into next week is this play-in game. And you've heard us talk a lot about it, but it may work if there's one scenario that plays out. And I'll give you that as we continue. It's Friday on Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, you earn a $5 rebate by trading up any non-contact thermometer towards an Exergen purchased at any retailer. Accuracy matters when it comes to taking your temperature, and Exergen temporal artery thermometers are backed by more than 80 published peer-reviewed clinical studies. Visit Exergen.com. So I was saying at the top of the hour, here we are in mid-May, and it feels a little weird, but we're heading into the playoffs of both the NBA and the NHL. You know, listen, I come from the 80s when around Mother's Day, Memorial Day, we were really entrenched into the NBA playoffs and even into the NBA finals. But now, because of COVID and because we had to shrink some seasons and move some seasons into a later start time, we are getting the postseason now. And I don't really mind it, to be honest with you. I'm all for extending sports into the dead period. I know it's not permanent. I know we'll get back to a normal schedule. But, you know, some of those dog days of summer get a little dull with the lack of sports and more off-season stuff than anything else. And now we're going to be extending these two sports deeper into the summer because of the playoff schedule. And I'm glad we're going to get some arenas back, not necessarily to full capacity, but at least some fans in it, because that is a missing element to the postseason. Look, I'm not the biggest hockey fan in the world, although I've gone to a number of games, I've covered a lot of games. But one of the things I love is when you are in an arena during playoff time. You know, when I used to cover the Avalanche, when they were in the postseason, some games with the Predators here in Nashville, where I live now, in the postseason, it's just a different element. It's like being in a baseball stadium on a winter, you know, on a late fall night in the World Series, where it's freezing cold at Fenway Park. Yeah, it's a different thing. It's a different atmosphere. Everything matters. Every second matters. And you missed that last year a bit in both the Disney World bubble and in the Canadian bubble for these two sports. Now, that's not to say that Tampa Bay and the Lakers didn't earn their titles. They certainly did. They went through the entire process. They went through the whatever was laid out in front of them. They managed it better than any team in there. But the idea of going on the road, the idea of getting a boost from the crowd at home, you know, suffering maybe two losses on the road, but getting a revitalization when you get back to your own arena and your own crowd and how they boost you up. Those are the things that matter in sports. Those are the things that we had taken away from us. And again, even though we're not going to be elbow to elbow at these arenas in both the NBA and the NHL, I'm glad at least we're going to have that element back. You know, I have given hockey fans all the credit in the world. And I tell them flat out, I'm like, look, I'm not going to pretend like I'm a huge diehard NHL guy. But when I'm up late and there's a double overtime game and I don't care who's playing, I turn it on in the postseason. I turn it on because I want to watch, because at any moment it could end. And any moment that heartbreak and that euphoria can be, can be seen in that moment, that real feeling of, especially if it's a game seven, that real feeling like any second this is going to end for one team, or one team is going to, the other team is going to advance on and move on or do something great in the series. Now, the NBA is doing this play-in game, and I've gone back and forth with this. I still don't like the idea. I know we had Lee Ellis on last week, and he liked the idea. He really liked the idea because it expands the postseason interest to all of these markets that normally would be done. Like Washington, for example, off to a bad start, got a better run towards the end, and now in the 10th spot in the Eastern Conference and going into the play-in game. And you look at San Antonio and Memphis, two teams that would have been eliminated right now, although Memphis and Golden State are tied for the final, the 8th seed in the Western Conference. But those two markets, again, there's a buzz that there's a postseason berth on the line for both of these teams. But I don't like the fact that you can play 72 games, 82 games, and you're supposed to feel like you're fighting for something. And if you earn a 7 seed, you earn a 7 seed. But I'll tell you this. If the Lakers and the Warriors are playing in the opening play-in game in the West, in the 7 and 8 game, I'm not going to be mad at the NBA for that. I think I'm actually going to be really interested in that. I still may not like the overall idea in principle, but it doesn't mean I can't enjoy that one game battle with the loser having to play an extra game. And I think that's a nice element to add to this postseason. Now, the Lakers right now are in the 7th spot. There are 3 games ahead of Golden State, and they've got that 7th spot locked in. They shouldn't have to worry about getting eliminated for the big party. They've earned a 7 seed. You know, they've struggled without LeBron, and they've got the 7th seed. They should be like, well, we're probably going to play Phoenix or whoever in the next round.
Speak for yourself, man.
But instead, they've got to play Golden. They're probably going to play Golden State. And to me, again, I think you should be more sitting down going, how do we get through a 7-game series rather than trying to figure out how to get through a 1-game contest? But if I get Lakers Golden State, I'll take it.
No, I'm excited for that as well. I just don't. I'm just nervous.
No, you should play Phoenix in a 7-game series.
Yes.
You know, even if you lose out, at least a series, you have a development where you are, getting LeBron back, and then you figure out how to beat Phoenix. Maybe you lose game one, but you bounce back in game two, and then you take it home in game three, and then you win game four, and maybe you lose game five. In each step along the way, you're learning more and more and more about your opponent to develop the series strategy.
Or just getting game ready. I mean, LeBron hasn't played in, 3 years now, it feels like?
Yeah, right? Forever. But in this situation with Golden State and Steph Curry being such a scoring threat, and they're dangerous in any sort of one-game scenario, you could lose this game if you're the Lakers and then find yourself in a, oh gosh, now we got to win against either Memphis or San Antonio. And if we're off that night, if the ball isn't bouncing our way, we could be eliminated in the playoffs in 2 games. when we were at least going to get four. And not only were we going to get four, we were going to get four spaced out enough so that we could figure ourselves out and figure our opponent out to best sort of attack them. But now they're putting us in this situation where one bad night plus another bad night means we're done, even though we earned the right to be in this Western Conference playoff scenario. Now, in the East, you've got Washington, and the case is made for the Wizards. Terrible start to the season. Much better in the second half of the season. Now, they're still under 500, but they're dangerous now. They're still a dangerous team, although they did lose back-to-back games to the Atlanta Hawks. Celtics are in that mix. Charlotte and Indiana. I don't think if you're the NBA, though, this is like Los Angeles and Golden State, right? Now, I know Golden State went into this season, Klay Thompson wasn't back and, you know, whatnot. But I don't think this is what the NBA kind of had in mind when they created this play-in game, right? They need LeBron James and the Lakers. Right now, they'll take any sort of marquee team they can.
Yeah.
Right? They need the Lakers to be involved in the playoffs. They need the Lakers to be a recognized power in the postseason with ratings being down like they are. The nightmare scenario for the NBA is having the Utah Jazz and the Milwaukee Bucks playing in the NBA Finals. That's just not gonna, sit well with Adam Silver and the department in New York.
Although for like, you know, basketball fan, that might be a great series.
They don't matter.
That doesn't matter. You're talking about two small TV markets.
Does not matter.
You know, the rest of us would be like, eh, whatever.
We know, the business of sports breaks down to this, right? Sparky Anderson used to say this in baseball. You win 52, you lose 52, or 54, you lose 54. It's what you do in the other 54 that matters, right? And it's the same thing in when it comes to broadcasting and broadcasting rights and ratings. You always get a certain percentage of the people that love what you do. That's a given. So that's already locked in. You know, Charlotte and Portland playing in the finals, they're in. Doesn't matter. Then there's a group of people that never watch, no matter who you give them. Give them LeBron and Philadelphia, they don't care. Give them Celtics, Lakers again, they don't care. They're never watching. They're not fans. They're not interested. They'd rather watch Hallmark movies or Grey's Anatomy or whatnot. They're not watching what you're doing. But then there's this large group of people that's where the money is made. The money is made by getting that large group of people that may take your product or may not take your product, depending on what product you're giving them. That's who you're going after. So Adam Silver may go, yeah, Utah-Milwaukee may be a good series, but he doesn't care. That's not his job isn't to say, you know, he really is looking at the metrics and going, obviously he's not rigging the system, but there is a hope that you get some major markets and some major marquee-ness to this. Like a lot of people, your average NBA fan certainly can name four or five members of the Phoenix Suns, right? You know, but can Joe Sixpack Mortgage guy working 9 to 5 and follows his local team in Florida name three Phoenix Suns players? He may need LeBron. Right in the NBA. You know, we used to talk about this with the Nuggets all the time when I lived in Denver. Even with Carmelo Anthony, the Nuggets weren't a sellable team to America. It just wasn't a team that, you know, the America would go, yeah, I definitely want to see what Denver's doing. Because it didn't have the same sizzle and pop. You know, in Golden State, I'll be honest with you, Golden State, before they emerged on the scene, didn't have sizzle and pop until they had sizzle and pop. And then they became a team that people loved to watch. But when they, you know, if this play-in game goes bad for the Lakers, you're left with Utah, Phoenix, Denver, Portland, Dallas. These are good teams, really, really good teams, but they don't move the needle like LeBron does.
No.
Right? I mean, that's the problem.
I mean, maybe, you know, I mean.
Or Steph Curry does.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if, you know, I guess for the NBA, they can look at this play-in game and go, okay, well, at least we'll have one star team in it, but how long? I feel like the Lakers, if they're to win, they'll give the Phoenix Suns a good run for their money. I don't know in a 7-game series if Golden State can outlast.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you have them bounced out early, and then you're left with really no star power.
I mean, this reminds me when we were talking about March Madness, when Kentucky in 2014 was playing awful and during the regular season and then started to play pretty well, and they were given an 8 seed by the committee, and then they became a team you didn't want to face. Right. And everybody was like an 8 seed. Now they're playing great. They got the Harrison twins and whatnot. And now they're playing great basketball. Do I have to play them as a 1? You kidding me? The Lakers are like that team. When they get LeBron back, do you want to be the two that plays LeBron and the Lakers? A healthy LeBron James and the Lakers? I wouldn't. I don't care if I'm Phoenix, Utah, Clipper, whoever it is that ends up with the one.
No, you always want the two. If Phoenix was smart, maybe tank a few games.
Right? I mean, exactly. Right? I mean, you've played so well all season to earn home court advantage, one of the top seeds in the West, and your reward is getting a Laker team that fell apart without LeBron, getting LeBron back? I have no interest in that scenario whatsoever at all. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue. Now, the NFL releasing its schedule. Week one has some interesting storylines. We got those coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Keeping your car clean is simple and inexpensive maintenance. It helps keep your car looking like new. O'Reilly Auto Parts has car wash and wax for painted surfaces, as well as interior care products like leather and vinyl, carpet and upholstery cleaner. Visit O'Reilly for Clean Car Month, and their professional parts people will make sure you get the best detailing products for your vehicle. Shop your local store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. I bought some gel that I could stick into the vents and stuff, and it picks up the dirt. And you put this thing, like you know how you have your cup holder, and it gets like little crumbs that the vacuum cleaner doesn't quite get because it's too. You just stick this like silly putty in there, and it just picks up all the dirt. It's great; makes the car look good.
Yeah, I need that. You should see my wife's car.
Yeah, my wife's car too is trashed.
Well, it's not because of her.
No, my son's home. He's already trashed it.
Yeah.
He's trashed it in a week.
I got three young boys who think it's okay when you spill some Goldfish crackers
sure,
to step
why
on
not?
Them.
Exactly. French fries.
Yeah.
All that stuff. So I like taking my car for a car wash. I actually enjoy that process. I enjoy taking it to the car wash and vacuuming it out and taking it. I don't know why. I just like doing it. I spend a good amount of time there.
Is it kind of like a rebirth?
I don't know. It's kind of a cool thing. I did a couple of things. I used to, there's this one place that has like an air, like a little tiny air gun. So when you have like that really hard to pick up dirt, you just blast it with this air and it loosens it up out of the carpet. And then you just pick it right up with the vacuum cleaner. It's great. And you know, I've got three car washes in my little town here in Tennessee. And I know which one has the best vacuum cleaners. I'm very knowledgeable of the tools needed to make sure my car looks sharp.
In my little spot in Houston where we live, there I don't know if it was I don't understand the thought process behind this, because in a I'm going to say like maybe a mile to 2 mile square radius, we have less than a mile square radius, we have like four or five chicken restaurants, you know, from your KFCs to Popeye, I mean, all right there. Like, literally, I mean, it's just chicken wars.
Location.
And then in a 2 mile, I would say in about a 2 mile radius, we have like seven car washes.
Yeah, car washes
it's amazing.
Deal.
And I'm including the car washes for a gas station.
Yeah.
You know, the little one where you just, you know, hey, you want 10 cents off your gallon of gas? Here's, you know, opt for the car wash.
The one we don't have in our town, which I used to see in pretty much every place I've lived. I've lived in a lot of places. Is the one where you go and you basically leave your car and somebody's vacuuming it and wiping down the windows, and then they send it through and they dry it off for you, and then you sit in the waiting room and they wave when it's done, and you go, you tip the guy, and you get the car. We don't have one of those in our town, and I kind of wish we did, because I did like those. But I like doing it myself. So
sit inside and watch it through the window.
Out. Yeah, and then watch through the window, and the guy raises his hand, you give him a couple bucks, and you get your keys, and off you go.
We do have one of those, and what I like about it is that they have a tip jar.
Yeah.
So, you know, because a lot of times you'll have one person working on it, then maybe somebody takes over, you have two people working on it. It's like, well, I'm not paying you guys the same amount.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to tip this one amount, but now they have a tip bucket. It's like, don't give them cash, put it in this tip bucket, and I feel much better. I'm like, all right, there you go.
See, so, but I like doing it myself. I kind of like the whole process. Take the mats out.
Yeah.
Really get this guy. No, just
well, you feel like there's a sense of accomplishment, and you feel like you're getting the job done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because how many times you jumped in there and like, oh, they missed this spot.
And that's every time I do it, my wife gets in my car. She goes, oh, you got to do my car next. Because she goes, yeah. And I go, yeah, of course I do. But I'm going to take the boy because he's the responsible. He's responsible for all this.
Exactly. All right,
so Wednesday we saw the NFL releasing its schedules. And, you know, here's the thing, right? Yeah, it's easy to go through the whole schedule, find the games and whatnot. But that's, you know, what you really should do is look at week one, because you don't know in the end what the big matchups are going to be like. Look, we can get all hyped up for Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, and well, we should. But what if Brady's hurt and doesn't play? Then the hype is gone. But at least in week one, unless we get a, you know, training camp injury, that's where we can get some of the real key matchups to sort of see what we can expect in week one. So I was doing that last night. I was like, all right, so it's Sunday, September 12th. What am I looking for? What am I wanting to see out of the big, huge chunk of games that are going on Sunday? I had fun with Tampa Bay, Dallas on Thursday, Baltimore and Las Vegas on Monday night. But the Sunday sit down all day NFL week one, what am I looking for? And there are plenty to see, right? First of all, the Steelers on the road to face Buffalo. Now, Pittsburgh, and you know, and went 11-0 to start last season and then made the playoffs, lost to Cleveland, and that was it. And the Buffalo Bills were a game away from the Super Bowl and a team that people have started to really come around to liking. Look, it's going to be tough to make the Super Bowl in a Patrick Mahomes AFC, but the Bills were certainly a team that at various times last year, I thought they were the best team in the AFC. So there is something I would absolutely want to see. J.J. Watt at Arizona going to Nashville to face the Tennessee Titans. Carson Wentz under center at Indianapolis taking on Seattle, who should have Russell Wilson after that saga and that drama went dead. And then you've got Sam Darnold going up against his former team and babyface Zach Wilson taking over at quarterback for the Jets. And Trevor Lawrence making his NFL regular season debut on the road against Houston. But I think one of the better games of week one is Kansas City against Cleveland. Now, Cleveland has an interesting schedule this year because they don't have hardly any primetime games in the first like 11 weeks of the season. And then they've got a couple towards the end. It's almost like the NFL is going, yeah, just making sure you're good. Like before we start throwing you all over national TV, we just want to make sure you're decent. We've done this before with you where we believed you were good. We thought we had high hopes for you, and then you kind of let us down. But this particular game, again, this was a playoff matchup last year. And if we're still living in a Patrick Mahomes AFC world, and we are, right? I mean, Kansas City is one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl again. They're certainly the favorites to win the AFC, even if the Buccaneers are the overall favorite right now to repeat as Super Bowl champions. This is the one caveat with the AFC going into this season that you always kind of have to, no matter how good your team may look, no matter how good, you know, the pieces that seem to be falling into place, you have to judge yourself against one of the best quarterbacks, you know, of recent memory in Patrick Mahomes and what Kansas City's doing. Oh, yeah, you're Miami, you think you're putting it together? Are you Kansas City good? Oh, Buffalo, you're even better than you were? Are you Kansas City good? Same thing. But the bevy of young quarterbacks that are going to be on display this season is really, really impressive. Now, I don't know if it leads to entertaining football or whatnot, but when you think about some of the young talent that you're going to see right off the bat in the National Football League, Trevor Lawrence expected to start week one. Zach Wilson expected to start week one. Justin Herbert is going to be in year number two. Joe Burrow is going to be healthy and back in year number two. Carson Wentz is going to play for Indianapolis. Josh Allen is a young guy, right? Well, maybe not seeing a young quarterback in New England, but likely going to be Cam Newton. New Orleans is going to have Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill as Drew Brees has retired. Denver, Teddy Bridgewater with the Broncos. Right, you're going to see a lot of new faces, a lot of different. Right off the bat in week one, you're going to get a really cool feeling of where the quarterbacks are. But the Sunday night game could be Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears against Matt Stafford and the LA Rams. I hope Fields starts day one. I hope he is. I know they've got some veterans in camp, and maybe that's the safer play. But I kind of hope Justin Fields starts right away for the Bears in that Sunday night game against the Rams. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Glad you could be with us as we continue along on a Friday.
to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, the Pac-12's got a new commissioner. We'll tell you who that is. Michael on Twitter, my wife is the biggest neat freak on the planet. Her car is a disaster. Banana peels and apple cores in the cup holders. Oh, my. I take her car to one of those $25 car washes. I tip the guy $10 because her car is such a mess, they make it look brand new. Yeah, I wish we had one of those places in my town. Those guys, you know, if it's run well, they make it look sharp. They make it look like it's brand new, is right. Car washes. Man, they are money-printing machines, I will tell you. That's why Breaking Bad used it to get Walter White to launder his money. Car washes are great. But like I was saying, I like to do my own stuff. Makes me feel good when I don't know. It's like mowing your lawn. Sometimes I have a guy do it, and then sometimes I like to do it myself. I had to have a guy doing the lawn because of my knee surgery, and we're actually talking about, all right, now, you know, son's back. It's, you know, now you don't need the assistance anymore. Now you're recovered from the knee surgery. It's time to cut this guy. But I kind of feel bad. He's like a really hardworking guy, young guy, starting his own business. And so I feel bad. I don't want to tell him like we don't want to use him anymore. And the lawn looks great. So maybe I should stick with him. I'm not sure.
Well, maybe you do this. You know, just say, hey, I'm going to have you don't want to say I'm going to have my son give it a try, but because I know that's who you're going to turn to.
Sure, I like doing it too. We like do it together. I do part, he does part. Then I weed whack and we blow the clippings away, and you know. We do like a whole full Saturday of lawn maintenance, and I enjoy that. But this guy does a great job. Like I said, young kid, young family, started his landscaping business, and I feel bad. I don't want to go up to him and go, yeah, thanks for everything while I was recovering from knee surgery and couldn't mow the lawn. We don't need you anymore at the height of your season.
Right.
Right? So I did tell my wife, I said, maybe we just let him do it all the way through to the fall, and then we just don't renew him for next year. Is that a way to do it? I don't know. I'm too nice. My wife will cut that tie tomorrow. She'll call him up and go, yep, thanks for everything. We don't need you anymore. Bye. Click. And me, I'm like, you know what? Just keep doing what you're doing. Did you cancel the game? No, I did not. I'm too nice. I'm serious. I don't like sending food back too. When I'm at a restaurant and I get something, I'm like, oh, it has tomatoes and I don't like tomatoes. And I go, send it back. No, I'll just pick around it.
I used to be that way, but no, I don't know. Maybe is it, you know, cause we always joke about this, that we can't wait to become that old man that just doesn't care anymore.
Right.
Yeah. I think I'm starting to get a little bit of those tendencies. Like, what do I care?
Yeah.
You know, make me another one.
Yeah, make it a whole nother steak.
But this, I'm also afraid, you know, I've watched too many TV shows or movies where it's like, well, if I send it back, they're just going to, you know, put a sneezer.
Yeah. Oh, of course. I saw Waiting with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
I remember
I do
that.
Know this. I used to do this when I bartended, that, you know, if somebody gave me a drink back and said it wasn't strong enough, that I didn't remake the drink. All I did was pour straight alcohol down the straw.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Their first sip was nothing but alcohol, which numbed their tongue anyways. And they thought, oh, this is how it's drunk. It's like, it's the same drink, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. So the Pac-12 has got a new commissioner. But it's
heard
interesting.
About this.
Now, listen to this. Now, Larry Scott is out. George Kolavkov, and I hope I'm getting his name right because I'm going to know it. Kolavkov has been hired to be the new Big 12 commissioner. Now, for many of you out there, go, well, big deal. Who's he? He's not from college athletics at all. He's not a former, you know, athletic director. He's not a former school president. He's not been in the college athletic landscape at any time in his career. He is a former executive of MGM. Now, this is some interesting things in what he was saying in his introductory press conference, that he kind of hinted that the college football playoff committee will be expanding the playoff very soon. He also is planning to, like, he's going to head to San Francisco, but they're probably going to be moving the base of operations for the Pac-12 in Las Vegas. Now, again, this is an interesting move. Pete Futek wrote about this at collegefootballnews.com. It's really interesting because we've kind of, I don't want to say downplayed the Pac-12. That's the kind of wrong angle to do it. But the Pac-12 has suffered over the last couple of years. It has not delivered great football teams. It has been one of those conferences that sort of gets left aside. But it is a very important conference given Los Angeles, Northern California, I mean, Washington, Oregon, Arizona. And there's some pretty good markets in there. And it should be a powerful conference in process. There's a possibility that the Pac-12 under this new leadership will be starting to look at expansion. And where would they possibly go? Now, look, expansion in terms of conferences has now been the game for the last, what, 15 years or so? When the SEC pecked off Texas A&M and Missouri, you had Nebraska leaving what was once the Big Eight and moving into the Big Ten, right? You've had a lot of these teams sort of shuffle the deck, if you will. And, you know, we have 10 teams in the Big 12, right? Expansion has been part of the game. It doesn't even matter geographically anymore. West Virginia plays in the Big 12, a kind of an East Coast school amongst this sort of Texas, Oklahoma oriented conference, right? And, you know, Iowa's in there as well. But the Pac-12 would be looking at some interesting schools if it's looking for expansion. If you're Boise State and you're in the Mountain West, now, you may not have a big market, but you have a geographical, strong geographical tie to the Washington area in terms of building up into that group. If you're Boise State interested in joining the Pac-12 as we continue to expand this thing, what if you're a school in a big conference already? Would you jump ship for a new and improved and polished up under a new regime, entertainment-oriented guy that's running the conference? You know, if you're Texas Tech, for example, would you jump over to the Pac-12? If you're Nebraska, would you leave the Big Ten and join the Pac-12? Right? The Pac-12 had gotten Colorado and Utah in their expansion game. What about UNLV? If you're going to make your offices in Las Vegas, would UNLV... Now, UNLV, again, not a good football program, has had some glory days in basketball, but those days are long gone. Is that an attractive enough team to put into the Pac-12? It's certainly an attractive market to put in the Pac-12. And the one fish, though, that if they can rein in, if they can pull in, was number one on Pete Futek's list of schools, BYU. Can you imagine a Pac-12 with BYU in its own television network, fan base around the world, and actually a good football team putting themselves into the conversation into the Pac-12? George Kolevkoff, again, I hope I'm pronouncing it right. I'm sure I'll get it down when he does some good things in the Pac-12. This is the kind of hire that makes me kind of curious as to where it's going. But I also wanted to know something else. And this was my big takeaway from this hire. It's not so much the expansion, and it is not so much about putting the Pac-12 on a bigger notoriety map, right? Getting more recognition. This guy is a former executive at MGM, right? There's an entertainment angle to his hire. There is a celebrity angle to his hire in what he dealt with as an executive at MGM with the entertainment, the casinos and whatnot. Are we seeing the first commissioner hired because of the way college football is going to have to navigate the name, image, and likeness situation with college athletes? Is this where this is going? Is this why he was selected? Among all the qualified candidates who had been athletic directors, who really know college athletics, spent years and years and years, decades involved in the college athletic landscape, that they decided to go with a hire that didn't have any of those qualifications, but was really, really good at a certain element that college athletics is going to have to deal with going forward. I think that's what happened here. And it's going to raise the sort of, flag, if you will, of saying, look, there's a new way of doing business. And the new way of doing business is to navigate in a different way. Right? Think about this for a second. I'm trying to make an analogy here. The one that's coming on the top of my head is, Blockbuster, right? Remember when Blockbuster had a chance to buy Netflix, right? Remember the big story? You know, but they didn't have a lot of capital. But one of the big reasons was the business model of Blockbuster was to have people go to a location to rent movies, keep those movies longer than when they were supposed to, and rake in the late fees. So when presented streaming, right, there was a reluctance to jump on board this technology, even if you were smart enough to see that's where we're going, because so much of the business revenue was late fees, and you couldn't give that up, right? So you couldn't see a different way of doing business. You couldn't see an entirely different way of making money. Eliminating all of these profitable practices for a whole new thing so you can maximize different levels of profit. That was the fundamental flaw in the thinking of where to go when you were selling hard copied movies into a new streaming world. College Athletics has been doing business one way for a long time, fighting different movements, fighting different ideas on how it should be done, fighting the push by players to get more say, more rights, all of those things. And now it is time to sort of say, we have to take this way of doing business. We have to throw it away. We have to now handle college athletics in an entirely different mindset. So instead of trying to put a square peg into a round hole, to use a cliche, we have to throw that all away and find another way of attaching these two worlds, college athletics, into a new parameter of these guys are going to be independent contractors of their own fruition and their own name, image, and likeness. And we have to navigate that. Instead of putting together, trying to make that fit into the current way we do things, we're going to have to strip the way we used to do things and do it in an entirely different way. This hire by the Pac-12 may be exactly that. This hire by the Pac-12 of a guy who's more into the entertainment side of our world, bringing him into college athletics is a way of saying, we're doing business in an entirely different way now. No, we are not grabbing an old athletic director who could name all of the NCAA rules off the top of his head, because we may be stripping down all of those NCAA rules in the next couple of years. No, we need somebody that's going to help us navigate all of the different problems and different ways we are going to have to handle how we deal with all of these athletes and how they're going to go about making money for themselves in a world we still have to control, in a world we still have an obligation for the competitive balance of what we're doing. This might be the first indication that college athletics is heading in a new direction. Now, the other conferences who are not looking for new commissioners may have to have their current commissioners that they like, that are in it for the long haul, may have to watch to see how the Pac-12 does this so they can incorporate some of those different types of ideas into their business model. But this might be a new way for the Pac-12 to say, it's changing, and we're going to be the first major conference to ride that change. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. And I do promise, because I think he's going to be a very important person, I'm going to get this name right. George Kolavkov. I think it's right. I think I nailed it.
Hey, I'm with you.
As we continue along in his wake up call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. Coming up in hour number two, we've got the good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll also talk the Preakness Stakes. In horse racing in general, what a wild 2 weeks this has been. Katten Bednar is going to join us from TVG, horse racing analyst. Will help us talk about the Preakness Stakes. I got a big question. My big question is, what if Medina Spirit wins the Preakness? Is the Kentucky Derby pressured then to go, yeah, just cool it with the drug thing?
Check
just
the
let
hay.
Him run, yeah, let him run the Triple Crown.
You need
let
to check win. The hay.
Right? I mean, what if he wins the Preakness? And you're still deciding whether or not he's got the Derby, he wins the Derby. Are you under more pressure now because he's got the first two legs of the Triple Crown under his belt?
Right?
Right? You'd be surprised. We wanted to take it away from him, but now America wants another Triple Crown winner.
I mean, it's a weird situation because if that happens in any other sport, we suspend the player.
Of course.
Here, you can't really suspend the player because did the player really know? I mean,
I got to disagree with you. You suspend the horse because the people in charge of the horse did wrong.
I know, but I mean, the horse didn't do anything wrong.
Right, but the people who are running.
No.
Okay. I'm sorry. If a NASCAR driver wins the Daytona 500, but the engine had an increased airflow to allow it more horsepower, the car didn't know, but the team did.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I get it. Right. I'm just having a little bit of fun.
Just want to make sure. But I love interviews. I love doing interviews where I need knowledge. Right. A lot of times I bring guys on and we more or less have a discussion. I set them up to talk about stuff I kind of know, but I want him, that individual. I love doing interviews where I'm like, I'm really ignorant with this stuff. I have no idea if this is common on a Tuesday at Rockingham or Belmont rather than the big events. Like, I know that we don't have a lot of horses that get disqualified for positive drug tests during the Triple Crown races. But is it common on a Tuesday at Del Mar? Like, is it common at these other tracks, like when they're not running major races? I'm curious. But I also want to know, how in the world is this horse even running in the Preakness if it's under investigation for drug doping at the Kentucky Derby? Like, how did they bring the horse there? There's so much to unpack in hour two.